If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. I don't want to make this too hard for you to find. Go to the cover and open it. That's Genesis. 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. Very familiar passage, but I want us to look this morning, as I shared with you, about what it means to fully surrender our lives to God. Now, there was a time not that long ago where if someone made you a promise, or someone said they were going to do something or not do something, you could believe them. You could trust them. It's not that way so much anymore. As a matter of fact, the word of a person means very little. We have seen this even in courts where somebody gets arrested or somebody is found out, and they'll stand on the stand and they'll put their hand on the Bible and they'll raise their hand. I'm not sure which one it is. I've never done this before. But whatever hand it is you put on the Bible, whatever one you raise, and they'll swear, "So help me God," to tell the truth. And then it's revealed later they didn't tell the truth at all, because the word of a person means so little today. As a matter of fact, often that's a definition of the word character, that a man or a woman is true to their word. It's a good definition of what it means to have character. Now, the one thing we can count on, though, is that God's word is true. His promises are true. What you read in the scripture, you can take to the bank. That's true. And it doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what someone else says. It doesn't even matter what the world tells us is true or false. The word of God is what we stand on. But what do you do when the promises that you read in his word are being delayed? Or it seems like they're never going to be able to happen for whatever reason. You say, you know, this is what's going on in my life, and I believe this is what God told me. But now this happened. So does that mean that I don't get the promise ever again? We ask ourselves these things. It doesn't look like this is going to happen now. Or what's taking so long? Because we all love to wait. I hate waiting. It's my favorite line in The Princess Bride. You know the line? You have all seen this movie 400 times, just like I have. So don't suppose you could hurry up. You'll just have to wait. I hate waiting. It's the way I am. I hate waiting. That was my Indigo Montoya accent. How was it? You recognized it, didn't you? You knew what I was doing. But to come to the place of saying, God, when am I going to get what it is that you said I'm going to get? How do we respond? How do we deal with those kinds of things? And one of the things that God often is waiting for us is to simply take that which it is that we're waiting on, the promise, and give it back to him. To surrender it back to him. Now, let's look at Genesis 22. We're going to read the first 18 verses. And I said, you know this story, but I want us to look at it again just quickly. Genesis 22. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here am I, he replied. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here while the donkey and I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The wood are here, said Isaac, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now again, that's a story that we're all very familiar with, and there's so much in there that we could talk about. Not the least of which is, remember this, Isaac was probably a young man by this point. He was not, a lot of pictures and paintings, you see they got this little boy about 8 or 9 years old. He was probably somewhere in his late teens to early 20s when this took place. Abraham, on the other hand, would have been about 118 or 120. So Isaac could have very easily overpowered his father, but you read in there where it says that Abraham bound his son and laid him on the altar. Isaac was even then willing to be obedient to something he did not understand. And that's what it is this morning I want us to consider. What do we do in our lives when we don't understand? When we can't see what the sense is of something? Because certainly what Abraham was asked to do would not have made any sense. Because God had told him, "I'm making a covenant with you. I'm going to produce a nation out of your heritage, out of your son. You and Sarah, a nation's going to come from you." Wouldn't you think that as Abraham is walking those 3 days to Mount Moriah, he probably would have thought more than once, "I don't get this. If he's going to make a nation out of me and he's told me to take my son and kill him, now what?" That would have been a good question. I would have asked that. I might have even argued a little bit with God when I got the assignment in the first place. Say, "Pastor Dave, you don't have a whole lot of faith, do you?" If I was asked to kill my son, I would ask some questions. But Abraham didn't do that. Abraham was called to surrender what was most important to him. Now, Webster tells us that the word surrender means this. And I'm not huge on the Webster definitions. We all know what word mean. But I just want us to make sure that we see how this fits together. It's the action of yielding one's person or giving up a possession of something, especially into the power of another. So you know that when somebody surrenders in war, they give themselves up. "I'm turning myself over to you." When I surrender something that I have, I give you something that I don't get to keep anymore. That's what it means to truly surrender. But how many times in our own lives do we truly surrender things, especially to God, fully? We may, a little bit, "Okay, I'll give you that for now." And then I want that back again. I go and I get it. Because I think I should have it. I'm more comfortable if this is a part of my life. I don't like giving up things that I don't want to give up. Because surrender is hard. It's a difficult thing to do. But as a Christian, if we are not willing to surrender our lives to God, I promise you, invariably, you will find yourselves heading for a difficult time. Because God is asking that from us. When we're stubborn, when we hold on to what we want. I'm reminded of a story of a ship that was heading down the coast. And the captain looks and he sees a light directly ahead of him. So he has his signalman send a signal to the light. It says, "Attention, alter your course 10 degrees to the south." He gets a reply back almost immediately. "Alter your course 10 degrees to the north." Captain doesn't want to hear this. "I'm the captain." So he sends the message. "Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a captain." He gets a reply back. "Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a seaman third class." Well, this infuriates him. So he figures, "All right, I'll pull out the big one." Sends his last message. "Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship." He gets a reply back. "Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a lighthouse." If you don't know what it is that you're headed for, you'll get that on the way home. If you are not willing to give up something of yourself, if you're not willing to surrender what it is that you have, this captain had to surrender his authority, otherwise he was going to be headed for the rocks. It's the same true in our own lives today. If we are not willing to surrender, there are rocks that we are going to be headed to that God in no way wants us to have to go to, but we will if we refuse. So there are three things here with Abraham I want us to look at quickly this morning. Three things that Abraham had to deal with that all of us at one time or another as Christians are going to have to deal with. It's inevitable. You'd like to think that you aren't going to have to deal with this. I can avoid it. No, you can't. As a Christian, here's the first one. God will at some time call all believers to prove their faith. God will at some point ask every one of us to prove our faith. For Abraham, it was something that meant more to him than anything. The name Isaac means laughter. Now, part of that was because if you remember the story, when the two angels came to Abraham originally and said, "Abe, I know it doesn't look good, but you're going to have a kid. I know, 100 years old, don't worry about it." Sarah's listening in the tent. She's 90. So, you know, do the math. 90 and 100, not a good chance of a child coming. Sarah thinks this is so funny, she starts laughing. And the angels hear her. And they said, "Even though your wife's laughing, this is still going to happen." Well, they named their son Laughter, because certainly God brought that joy into their lives, to be able at their old age to be able to have this son. God then comes to Abraham and says, "Now, the very source of your joy, the very source of what brings you pleasure, I want you to give that back to me. Give it back to me completely." And as I read that, it's hard for me not to think about my own life. And I encourage you to think about yours this morning. What is it that gives you the greatest amount of pleasure? What is it that just, "Man, I love this"? Or are you willing to give that back to God if he were to ask? God will ask us invariably to prove our faith. Abraham was willing to do that. He was willing to do whatever it was going to take in order to be obedient to God. And there are four great crises that Abraham had to endure, and every single one of them, he had to surrender something. Remember in the beginning, God told him, "I want you to leave your country and leave your family and go to a place that I'll tell you about." You know what that means? Get in your car, start driving, I'll tell you when we're on the road. That's what that meant. How many of us would be willing to do that? Someone comes up, if I come to you and go, "All right, Barry, I need you to take a little trip. I need you, Barb, get in the car, and I'll tell you where." And just start driving and just go. We'd have some questions about that, wouldn't we? Where am I going? How long am I going to be gone? What should I pack? Am I going north? Am I going south? Do I need to take any money? When do I get to eat? That's Barry's question. When do I get to eat? Will there be donuts on the road? That's what he wants to know. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham left his family, the Bible says, and he went. Second crisis Abraham had to deal with, he had to be willing to surrender even the little bit that he had with him. Remember, he went with his nephew Lot, and they came to a time where they had to separate. Abraham went one way, Lot went another. What was God doing? He was paring everything out of Abraham's life in order to prepare him for what he had in store. This morning, God is preparing your lives. You may not feel like you know what it's about. You may not even know what that means. "I don't feel like I'm being prepared." God is preparing you for what he has. The question is, are we willing to surrender to him what our life is in order to be able to allow him to be able to do that in and through us? The third thing Abraham had to deal with then was his plan for Ishmael. Don't forget, Abraham had a child with Sarah's handmaiden. And Ishmael was not the promise that God had said was going to come. Ishmael was a counterfeit. Now, we've talked about counterfeit in here before, where God has a plan for us and the enemy wants to come and to bring something that's going to be twisted. It's not actually what God wants. That's what Ishmael represented. But Abraham still loved him. He's still his son, but it wasn't the promise. And God had to weed that out. And Abraham had to give up Ishmael, had to send him away. And then God comes to Abraham and says, "Now, I want all of it. I want all of it. I want not only the son that was not a part of the covenant, now I want the son that is the covenant. I want the son that I have told you is going to be the one that is going to spawn a generation. Too many people, even stars of the sky, sands of the sea, more people than even that. I want the son." How willing would we to be able to step up and to do something like that? How quick would we be to be obedient to God, even in the face of something that just makes no sense? You say, "Well, Pastor Dave, God doesn't work like that anymore, does he?" Does he? You tell me. Even as you're listening to me right now, I believe God is revealing some things into your spirit. While we were worshiping this morning, Karen had her eyes closed and was worshiping, and God gave her a beautiful picture of an angel, a full, powerful, beautiful angel, colors, magnificent colors. That was a vision for her, but it's also for someone here as well. Because God wants to prepare us again for what he's got in store. Where is he going to take me? Where is he going to take us? He's preparing us for that. And for Abraham, it was about surrender. It was about giving over everything to God. Even the place where he was going to be taking him was important. You see, God doesn't waste things. You say, well, wait a minute. Why did he have to take a 3-day journey to go do this? What was that about? Why would it take so long for him to have to get to the place where they went? The Bible tells us is a place called Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is also the location of the Mount of Olives. Now, if you read into the New Testament, you see Jesus did a lot of his ministry on the Mount of Olives. At the base of the grove of the Mount of Olives is a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the place Jesus was arrested. Jesus was given up as a sacrifice to us at Mount Moriah. Isaac was taken and was given up as a sacrifice to God at Mount Moriah. God doesn't waste anything. And what he wanted Abraham to understand was, if you are not willing to hold anything back from me, I will bless you beyond measure. He's saying the same thing to us today. If you're not willing to hold back anything, here's the second thing. First one is, God will call all believers at some point to prove their faith. Second one, we must continue to trust God with all of our hearts, even when we don't understand. Continue to trust, even when we don't understand. Now, that's a tough one. I understand that. Because we all want to feel like we're in control of our lives. We all want to feel like that we know what it is that's going to be happening next. I want to be able to see that plan going out. Okay, God, you can be in my life, but I'd like to see a roadmap. Where am I going? Show me what's next. Abraham had his map taken from him. As a matter of fact, he was told, I want you to give the map back to me. Abraham knew what God had told him. I'm going to build a nation through you, through your son. And I think one of the greatest struggles that Abraham probably had to endure was the night before they left to leave. Why? I don't think he slept well that night, to be honest. I'm sure he was a little distressed about what he was going to have to do, to put it mildly. But guess who else was pounding on him through probably most all the night? Same one that pounds on us. Brings doubt to our minds. Brings fear. Satan was barking at him through the whole night. God doesn't really love you. God's not true to his promises. He's going to take the thing that you love the most. Are you really going to plunge a knife into your son's chest? Are you really going to do that? What kind of a father are you? All of these things. And yet Abraham kept his faith. Abraham kept his eyes on where they belong. How did he deal with it? Well, Hebrews 11 tells us. If you go to the book of Hebrews, that 11th chapter is the Faith Hall of Fame. If they had busts of these guys, that's where they would be. It's like the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. And here's what it says in the 17th verse of the Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. One of the things I love about Genesis 22, we read there, Abraham, did you catch this? When he said to the servants when they were leaving, he said, we're going to go on and worship and then we'll come back to you. That's faith. To be able to speak those things, even though they are not happening, even though I don't understand, I can't see what it is that's going to take place, I still have faith in the promises of God. My friends, that's the way we need to live today. You say, Pastor Dave, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't need to know. All I know is that God is greater. You say, Pastor Dave, I've had this my whole life. God can make changes in our lives immediate if all we'll do is surrender to him. He's just waiting on us. And to hold that faith even when I can't understand. Because when we do, here's what happens. Third one, God will see our faith and reward us in His time. In His time. Now, once again, that's the part that's a little hard for us. You say, okay, Pastor Dave, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. I'm tithing, and my money's getting worse. Anybody ever experienced that before? Most of us in here at some point or another. I can remember back when I was a lot younger. Just had a flashback there. I'm okay now. Is that 60s, 70s? 1870? Thank you, Selton. I appreciate that. Thank you. I can remember when I first started tithing. And I'm trying to remember, either I lost my job or things just kind of went kaflooey on me financially. And I know that what God was wanting to know from me was, are you still going to trust me even though you don't understand what's going on? The Bible tells me to tithe my income, 10%. That's what the Bible tells me. So when I did that, it got worse. So I want to go, okay, God, help me understand this here. What does that mean? Why would it get worse when I'm being obedient to what it is that you've told me to do? And the thing that He revealed to my spirit and the thing I've carried with me my whole adult life is, you do not need to be concerned about what it is that I'm going to do. All you need to be concerned about is what it is you're going to do. Are you going to be obedient to what my word says? Because if I believe that He's faithful, if I believe that He'll be true to His word, then I know that in Malachi it tells me that if I'm faithful, He will open the storehouses of heaven and pour them into my life. You say, so Pastor Dave, does that mean I'm going to be rich if I tithe? No, because His storehouse is more than about financial things. His storehouse is about peace of mind. His storehouse is about health for my heart, for my mind, my body. His storehouse is about joy. It's about not letting the things of the world overcome me. That's what faith is. And so as we look at this account of Abraham, the parallel that we see between Isaac and Jesus is so beautiful. And if you consider this, what it is that Abraham had to do with his son, it's exactly what God did with his. Isaac was the long-promised son to Abraham, 100 years old, going to have a kid. Jesus was the long-anticipated Messiah that was going to come. 600 years of prophecy that finally came about, waiting for Jesus. Both were an only son. Isaac was the only son of Abraham and Sarah. The Bible tells us Jesus gave His only begotten son to die for us. Both were loved by their fathers. Both had a 3-day experience. Isaac had to walk those 3 days, not really knowing what was going on, but being obedient to his dad. Jesus hung on the cross, went into the grave, and was resurrected in 3 days. They both were accompanied by 2 people. The servants went with Abraham. The 2 thieves hung on the cross with Jesus. Both the men were also required to carry their own wood to their own death. At least that's what they thought. Isaac's carrying the wood for the fire. Jesus had to carry the crossbeam of his cross to be nailed to the tree. And then finally, both of them were raised from the dead. We just read in Hebrews, Isaac figuratively raised from the dead, taken off of the altar, and Jesus, of course, coming out of the tomb to provide us salvation. So what does surrender look like? And then I'm done. What does surrender look like? How does that happen? What do I do? Let's say, for instance, that you sing, and your singing has become so important to you. It's all I want to do. I want to sing. It's all I care about. It's my identity. It's how people know me. I go, hey, Dave. No, it's the singer. He sings. You say, what do you know about Selton? He sings. That's what I know about him. What do you know about Jeff? He doesn't sing. But when something about me becomes so important that I am not even willing to give it back to God, it has come to a place of my life where it has become an idol to me. And to surrender something like that means that the most important thing is not what people think about me, it's what they think about God in me. That's what's most important. And there are people today that have gotten themselves so locked into things of their lives that they cannot conceive of not having that as a part of themselves, whatever that may be. I'll tell you, I was reading about this the other day. Actually, it's in one of my classes that I'm taking right now. One of the things that we're required to do is about, through this 8-week course, is that we have to write what are called discussion boards. Professor gives us a particular topic. Linda knows all about this. Particular topic, and you have to write, and it has to be all nice and sound like you're intelligent, like you belong in school, and all those kinds of things. But then people also respond to it as a part of their assignment. And the one guy had taken time and written, this is an apologetics course, about social media, and how this had taken a hold of his life, and that he had been convicted by the Holy Spirit, that it had become to an unnatural place. And how did he know this? Because it was the most important thing that he did all day. And I don't, you know, there's all kinds of things. I don't even know what they are. I know Facebook, that's about it. But all of the other different things that are also available, that has so saturated our society today that there are people that will not go more than an hour without checking what's going on. Is there anything wrong with all that? No, if you're smart about it. I don't think I'd put on there, hey, I'm leaving for vacation. I'll be out of my house for a week. That's probably not too smart. But what that means is that if God were to ask me to lay something down for him, that's what surrender is. If God were to tell me to have to walk away for something for a period of time, am I willing to do that? Now, surrender doesn't always mean you have to give something up. I may be a singer, and God may not ask me to never sing again, but he will want to ask me, are you willing to give this up if I ask you to? And my question for us this morning is, what's your Isaac? What's your Isaac in your life? What is it that means so much to you that you cannot conceive of not having it a part of your life? And are you willing to lay that down and give it to God? Until we are without question, and I believe that this is absolutely true, when we are not willing to do that, we are preventing God from being able to bring into our lives all that he desires for us. We're preventing him from doing that because we're holding on to things in our lives and he's asking us to give it back. We're keeping our eyes and our minds fixed on something that has taken the place of where it should be, which is on him. You say, well, Pastor Dave, I don't even know what that is. No, you may not, but here's what you can do. Just simply say, God, if there's anything in my life this morning that is my Isaac that I'm not willing to lay down on the altar, would you just please show me? And see, God's not about yanking things out of our lives. I think we kind of get that picture sometimes of God. He's up there and he's trying to yank things away. You can't have that because you like it. That's not who God is. The Bible tells us God wants to bless his children. He wants to give us over and above what we can even think or imagine. But am I willing to give it back to him? So again this morning, this is not about condemnation. I'm not trying to bring condemnation. What I'm trying to bring is conviction by the Holy Spirit. God loves us. And he wants to see the fullness of his will in our lives if we're willing to lay ourselves before him. What's your Isaac? What is it that you need to be willing to surrender to him? He'll show you. He'll help you with that. Because once again, I can promise you this, if you are willing to do that, what he will give back to you is beyond anything you could have thought possible because he loves us that much. Bow your heads with me if you would. Thank you, Father. Well, again, I just want to just pray over you this morning. And right now, just in the quiet of this moment, I'm asking you to be honest about some things in your life. Because one of the hardest things about doing this, one of the hardest things about surrendering things is many times we don't even know what it is. Or we justify it. We rationalize it. And we say, well, that's not such a big deal. I can quit that anytime I want to. Us people that smoke will tell you that. I can quit anytime I want to. Okay, go ahead. But they don't. And this isn't about smoking. It's not about those kinds of things. But what it is about what is the condition of my heart this morning? Is there anything in my life that I keep from God that he would ask me to lay down? I don't think I could. That he'd ask me to give it back to him? The thing that I love the most? The thing that gives me the most joy right now? Can I give it back to him? And this morning what I'm asking is that God will reveal to your heart and you will come to the place of saying, Father, even if it's this, I'll give it to you. Because walking in the center of your will, having everything you want for me in my life, is the most important thing. Because you love me. Well, Heavenly Father, I ask in this moment right now that you are revealing things to the hearts of these dear ones. Again, God, I come against the enemy and his attempt to bring condemnation and to make us feel bad about something. No. That's not what you bring. What you bring is revelation. What you bring is conviction so that we can turn those things and come into a place of fellowship with you that we have may even never known before. All because we are willing to give whatever it is that you ask. And Father, I pray there would be no fear. I pray, God, there would be no hesitation. Because the other lie the enemy's telling us is God's going to take the thing you love the most away from you. No. No. What you want to know, Father, is are we willing to give it up? Because when we are, then it doesn't matter if you take it from us, because now it belongs to you. And so, God, I just pray, bring balance to our lives, that you would bring right order to our lives this morning, all to your glory and all to your honor. And then, God, I pray that you would pour out blessing into each and every heart here. God, we read in your word that when we are obedient, when the children of Israel were obedient, you blessed them. You poured out wonderful things. And God, you still do that today. You love to bless your children. And so I pray, Father, that there would be nothing in my life, there would be nothing in the lives that are here today that would prevent you from working and moving in and through us to the fullness of what you desire. Thank you, God. Thank you for each and every person here today. God, I believe that each one here was here to hear this word, that you brought us here, God, to learn, to grow. I thank you for the vision that you gave Karen this morning. I pray, God, if there's anybody's heart that received that, God, that they would give that back to you and just say thank you, God, for this word. God, as we leave this place, may we go filled with expectation, filled with anticipation of the greatness of who you are in our lives. We pray, God, for joy. We pray for peace. I ask, God, that you keep us safe. And we look forward to coming back again next week to hear more about what you desire for us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. It's in your precious Son's name I ask all of these things. Amen.